Okay, we left off two lines from the bottom, Daf Lamed Vav and Beis, so we're in the middle of discussing the issue of Prusbul. We missed, of course, in Shabbos on the internet, at least we missed the best Daf about Prusbul. But says the Gemara, my Prusbul, what does the word Prusbul mean, and where does the word Prusbul come from? So Amar Rav Chisda, Pros Boliabuti. Prusbul is a combination of two words. Pros, which means the takana, for the benefit of buli ubuti. Who are buli ubuti? So says Gemara, buli elu ashirim d'chsiv v'shavarti eska'un uschem, that buli is a reference to rich people. Pasuk says v'shavarti eska'un uschem v'tani Rav Yosef elu bolos shebi Yehuda. That's a reference to the rich people in Yehuda. Buti elu ha'aniyim d'chsiv haveta avitenu. And buti is a reference to aniyim, as the pasuk says haveta avitenu, in the context of a person who is an ani, who needs money. So the pasuk says, "Ki fasach tivtach as yad chalo," that you have to open up your hands to him. You shouldn't shy away from giving him. And you should give him whatever he is lacking. So that's boli avuti. That's what prusbul. It's a takana to benefit both the rich and the poor. It benefits the rich because the rich previously were violating an iser of not lending money. So in order that they and because they would lose money. So in order that they not lose money if they do the mitzvah of lending money. So it's to their benefit that they're not going to lose the money. It benefits the aniyim because now the aniyim are going to be able to have money to borrow. So it benefits everybody. Amrle Rava Lelauza. So Rava happened to speak to someone who was from a foreign language who didn't speak Hebrew, and he overheard the person, Rashi explains, he overheard the person use the word prusbul. So Rabbi said to him, my prusbul, what does the word prusbul mean in your language? So Amalei, porsa de milsa, it means the porsa de milsa. Now, the Gemara doesn't explain what porsa over here means, but it means some sort of takana, some sort of adjustment, some sort of help to figure something out. So porsa de milsa, it's also a takana to make things better. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, yisomen ein tzrichen prusbul. So now some details about a prusbul. Number one, a yasom doesn't need a prusbul. Orphans don't need a prusbul. If someone owes them money, they're going to have to pay back even after Shemitah, even without a prusbul. V'chein tani Rav Bar Chama yisomen ein tzrichen prusbul. Rav Bar Chama says the same thing. Yisomen don't require a prusbul. The Rav Gamliel beis dino avien shel yisomen, because Rav Gamliel and his beis din count as the father of yisomen. What does that mean that they're the avien shel yisomen? It means that they're in charge of all the shtaros of the yisomen, and therefore, by definition, all the shtaros are already considered kimisurim lebezdin. They're all considered as if they've been given over to Bezdin. And we know most shtaros of lebezdin is one effective way to circumvent Shemitah. So the so yisomim, by definition, it's already most shtaros of lebezdin. The tumim in Simon Samach Zayin Oschafei asks, why do you even need to say Rami Gamliel lebezdino are avien shel yisomim anyway? The yisomim shouldn't require a prusbul because the halacha, because the din is that yisomim are not chayiv mitzvos yet. They're ketanim. They're not chayiv mitzvos yet. So the mitzvah of hashmatas ksafim doesn't apply to them anyway. So why do you need to come on to this idea that the avien shel yisomim, that the beis din is the avien shel yisomim anyway? They're not chayiv mitzvos. I, says the Tumim, you're going to say that it's a chiyuv chinuch, that midin chinuch they should be chayiv in hashmatas ksafim. The Tumim says, no, this is a case of hefsed mamon on a mitzvah drabanan. He doesn't think chinuch would apply when it's hefsed mamon to them and a mitzvah drabanan. So why is it that the chayiv anyway? So the Tumim points out, the minchas chinuch, quotes this kasha, and the minchas chinuch points out that what you have to say is that shmita is not only something that the person has a personal mitzvah to do. That if I lent you money, I have a mitzvah to go ahead and be meshamet that loan and tell you that don't worry about it, you don't have to pay me back. We're going to get to that also. The person does have an obligation to do that as well. But Shemitah, the loan is actually cancelled on its own. So the chov is gone on its own. Had it not been for Rav Gamliel Bezino, Avien Shel Yisomim, if it were just up to the Yisomim's own actions, the Shemitah would automatically cancel the loan, and even if the Yisomim don't do anything, even if the Shemitah would automatically cancel the loan, and the Yisomim not doing anything would never get their money back. You need the fact that Rav Gamliel Bezino or Avien Shel Yisomim to make it count as if it's Moser Shteros of the Beis Din, and therefore the Yisomim are allowed to collect. Tnan Hasam, in kolsun prusbul ela ala karka. So the second halacha about prusbul for the day is, again, halacha number one was that for yisomim it's not necessary. Halacha number two is that prusbul can only be written on karka. You only write a prusbul when someone owns karka. Generally speaking, halacha lemaisa, this isn't really problematic. Anyone who lives in a home owns karka. So most of us do have karka. The only time it comes up is if you have someone who's still living in his parents' home and he's already working, so he has some business dealings. So for him to write a proposal, you have to make sure he has some karka if he's still living in his parents' home. But generally speaking, most people do have karka. But either way, proposal can only be written if a person if the borrower has karka. Says Rashi, why? Im yesh karka lova dolo tiknu el bizman shachov kisharuf sharo she nigvin min karka. Because the chacham were only misakin a prosbul when it's a normal loan. And normally you don't lend money to someone who doesn't have karka. The Rabbanon were only gozer were only misakin by a milsa d'shchicha. They only made their takana by something that's a common case, and it's totally uncommon to lend money to someone who doesn't have karka, because you have no guarantee, or you have no confidence that you're going to be able to collect from him if he has no real property from which to collect. Because any movable property, he could just hide somewhere. So karka, he can't hide. So you would only lend money who has karka. So milsa d'shchicha lo v'drabanan takanta, and that's why it can only be when someone has karka. The Tumim again in Siman Samach Zayin asks, wait a second, according to that, when do you need to have the karka? L'chora, you should need to have the karka at the time of the loan, because that's when it's common to lend money to somebody, when he has karka at the time of the loan. We're going to see in the Gemara that when it comes time to write the prosbul, then the very next words in the Gemara, im ein lo mizakeu b'toch sadeu kol shuhu. If the guy doesn't have karka, the guy you lent money to doesn't have karka, Pashas of the Gemara is it saying, when you want to write a prosbul, since you can't write a prosbul if he doesn't have karka, be mizake him a little bit of your karka, and then you could write the prosbul. Why does that work, asks the Tumim? It's still a milsul shchicha, because at the time of the loan, he didn't have karka. It's not good enough that he has karka now, at the time that you're going to write the prosbul. And the truth is, not all Rishonim agree with Rashi. The Rash in Masechah Shviyas, Perek Yud, Mishnah Vav, says that the reason why we only write a prosbul when there's karka is because the karka counts as a mashkon, that the karka makes it considered as if the chov is already collected. Because who says that you're still in control of the land? Maybe the land doesn't move, so it's not something that I can pick up and take with me. So the land, wherever it is, it's as if it's collected already. And that's why Prusbul, that's how the prosbul is going to work. It's as if it's malva lamashkon. It's as if I'm already holding on to the payment, and that's why the chov is not cancelled. But l'chora, according to the Ran points out, according to the shita of the Rash, that explains why you don't need to have the karka at the time of the loan, because that's not how the karka is working here. It has nothing to do with milsa d'shchicha, milsa d'shchicha. It has to do with at the time of hashmatas ksafim, when the shmita is going to cancel the loan, I need to know, do I have anything in hand? Does the lender have anything in hand from the borrower? So if there's karka, he has something in hand. But the Ran points out that l'chora, according to the Rash, it's not good enough to have the karka at the time of writing of the prosbul. You need to have the karka at the sof shnas hashmita, when the shmita is actually mishamet, because that's when the loan would be cancelled. So if I give him, if I'm a zakim karka kolshu, I write the prosbul, and then I take my karka right back after I write the prosbul, and it's still 2 weeks before the end of the year, l'chora, that wouldn't be good enough. So the pashtus of the Gemara doesn't really fit perfectly according to either shita of Rishonim. Right? That we have to say is that it's milsa d'lo shchicha that a person's going to have karka at one time and not at the other time, so we just made it as an easy takana that he has karka at the time of the prosbul. So most commonly, when he has karka at the time of the prosbul, he has karka before it and he has karka afterwards. So it's good enough if he just said the way the Rabban made the takana is it's good enough if he just has karka at the time of the prosbul. But it is a little bit difficult. If he has karka, so Rashi says that's enough to be gova the chov, no matter how much the guy owes you, it's enough to collect, even if he just has a little bit of karka, because the maisa de katina da abaye, we learned earlier in the Masechta, that if a guy owes me money, I can go collect his karka. He'll want to, even if the karka is only worth $10 and he owes me $100, so he'll come, he'll buy back his karka, then I'll collect it again. He'll buy it back, I'll collect it again. You can always go and it'll be chozer v'gove. You can collect over and over again, and in that way he'll end up collecting his entire chov. Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Shmuel that says, no, there's a different reason why karka, even a small amount of karka, is good enough to correspond to the entire chov, and that is eino na'a l'karkaos. There's no din of na'a when it comes to karka, right? There's no such thing as overpricing karka. Real estate can be worth whatever I want it to be worth. So since there's no na'a b'karkaos, even a tiny amount of real estate, even though the market value right now might not be the exact amount of the chov, it could work out. I could charge whatever I want, so I could charge the amount of the chov, and therefore it will correspond. Tosfos points out that there is bitul mekach. Okay, we're not going to get into the whole discussion that ensues about that. Okay, says the Gemara, as we said, if you don't have karka, if the borrower didn't have karka, so when you write the prosvil, give him a little bit of karka, be mezakehim a little bit of karka. Now the Rashba says, but that's not shchiach. It's not shchiach that you're going to be mezakehim karka. So how could the rabban make a takana on prosbul in the case where you're mezakehim karka? So he says lo plug, right? Anytime he has karka, it's good enough. It doesn't matter how he got the karka. The rabban made a lo plug. If he has karka, you can write a prosbul. Now what's interesting though, the Ran on the futesim beis b'dape arif over here says, wait a second, you're mezakehim karka. So what do you mean? He's not here. And without him being here, I'm zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. I do this wonderful thing for him, and I give him this karka without him around. Now, is it really so wonderful for him? Is it really a zuchus for him? Granted, on the one hand, he's getting karka as a gift. It's wonderful. Very nice. He got a little piece of karka. But because he has that little piece of karka, a loan of $1 million that would have been canceled is now not going to be canceled. Now he's going to have to pay back the $1 million. So how can you say that it's a zuchus ulo, that it's a zuchus for him to get karka? It's actually bad for him to get the karka. So the Ran says what you see from here is that when something objectively, when an actual transaction is a zuchus, even if it has ramifications that are a chov, even if the ramifications of that transaction are going to affect other areas that are going to be very bad for the guy, we only look at the actual transaction. Is it good for a person to receive a gift of land? Absolutely. It's always good for a person to receive a gift of land. Either ramifications of that may be that his loan of $1 million is no longer going to be canceled. He's going to owe $1 million now, and that's a chov, but that's not the transaction. We only look at the transaction itself, even when the chov far outweighs the zechus. So that's what the Ran suggests. And then the Ran says, but you know what? Maybe this only works by prosbul. Maybe this is one of the kulas of prosbul. That for prosbul, we're going to say that it counts as a zechus and we could be zachon ladam shalom b'fanav. Maybe if it weren't for prosbul, we wouldn't say zachon ladam shalom b'fanav in such a case. So that's how the Ran rejects it. Now the Ran does point out, if the guy is Amad Vitzavach, if he's standing there saying, no, I don't want the karka, I don't want this matana, so you can't be Zachan Bal Karchav, you can't be Zachan Adam Shal B'Fanav when he's megala to you explicitly that he doesn't view this as a zechus. So that would certainly be an exception over here. Anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, V'kama Kolshu, how much is a Kolshu, how much land do you have to give him? Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav, Afilu Kelach Shal Kruv, even if you just give him the amount of land that corresponds to the space that a stalk of cabbage takes up. That's all he needs in order for to be able to have a prosbul. Amrav Yuda afilu ishilo makom latanu v'kirayim kosel of prosbul. Even if you only lend him a place to keep his oven on your ground, it was put on the ground, his stove or his oven on the ground, that's good enough because he's using your property, so that's good enough. It's as if he's renting that property, and therefore you can write a prosbul. But doesn't Hillel say you can only write a prosbul when the guy has an atzitz nakuv, a flower pot with a hole on the bottom resting on the ground? That's when it's considered that he owns karka. So nakuv in sheino nakuv lo, which makes it sound that if he has just a regular flower pot resting on your land, that's not called that he's renting or borrowing your land. But why not? According to what we're saying now, that even if you just give him space to put his taner v'kirayim, even if you just give him space to put his oven down, that's considered that he's renting or borrowing your land. The same should be true if he puts a flower pot down. Why should it be any different than the oven? So says Gemara, no, the case of the atzitz nakuv that we're talking about is not where it's resting on the ground. We're talking about it standing on posts. You put these two little posts into the ground, and it's resting on top of the posts. So if it's an atzitz nakuv, it's considered to be mechubar to the ground. So he has karka, because of owning the flower pot itself is owning karka. But if it's not, it's she'enu nakuv. There's no hole in the bottom of the flower pot. The flower pot is metaltalin, and he doesn't own any ground underneath it. He's not even using any of the ground underneath it. It's not resting on the ground underneath it. All the Rishonim ask the obvious kasha, it may not be resting on the ground underneath it. What about the posts? The posts are resting on the ground, and all you need is a karka kolshul. All you need is a tiny amount of karka. Doesn't he have the tiny amount of karka with the posts that are on the ground? So the Ramban says, yeah, but the posts are very tiny. So it's too small an amount of karka. What did the Gemara say? That you need kikelach shel kruv. You need the amount that's the size of a stalk of cabbage. These posts are smaller than a stalk of cabbage. The Rashba points out that's very difficult to say because the Gemara in Kiddushin says explicitly afilu kumlo machat. The Gemara in Kiddushin says even if it's a amount of ground that you stick a needle in, that's enough land, which obviously is going to be a smaller amount of land than the posts. So the Rashba says instead that you have to say that the case is that the posts belong to the malveh. The posts don't belong to the loveh, and the fact that I'm using his posts that happen to be attached to the ground is not the same as using his ground directly. So therefore, that this is a case where the guy doesn't have, the loveh doesn't have any ground whatsoever. And I saw in the sefer, in the Biurei Hadaf, in this, you know, the sefer that I used, of the Shas Lublin, the Higisa, so he quotes from, I never would have found this, the Rebar Kalonimus, who says that if the Lova has, that there's a difference if the Lova has his own land, or if he has to borrow land from the Malveh. If he has his own land, so then even Kamlo Machat, even a Kol Shehu, even the tiniest amount of land would be good enough. But when he's taking or the land from the Malveh, either borrowing or Zachan La'adam, whatever it may be, when the Malveh has to provide the land, then a Malo Machat doesn't work. Perhaps it looks like too much of a Harama if it's a Malo Machat. It has to be a somewhat more substantial amount of land, and then you need Kelach Shel Karuv. That's when you need the amount that's the that's like the stalk of a cabbage. That's where you need a more substantial amount of land. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Ravashi makne de gidma de dikla v'kasav le prosbol. Ravashi would be makne to the love a stump of a dekel tree, and he would write a prosbol on that because now the love owned land. Rabbanu de Ravashi masri milai hula hadadi. The Rabbanu de Ravashi, instead of writing a prosbol, would orally make a prosbul. They would just be moser milay. They would give over their words to each other. Rabbi Yonasan moser milay to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Rabbi Yonasan once did this to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba without actually writing a prosbul, just verbally do it. So Amar Lei Tzrich Lemidi Akrina, and he said, okay, am I done? Do I have to do anything else? Amar Lei Lo Tzrichas. Nah, that's good enough. You're done. Tan Rabbanan Ein Lo Karka La Ariv Yesh Lo Karka. Kosanov prosbul. Let's say the love himself doesn't have any karka, but the cosigner, who is his guarantor, does have karka. So that's good enough. You can write a prosbul on that, even though he himself doesn't have karka, because it is shchiach to lend money to somebody who himself doesn't have karka if he has a guarantor who does have karka that you know you're going to collect from. Lo ula arev ein len karka, but if neither he nor his arev have karka, ula chayev lo yesh lo karka, but let's say there's someone else who owes him money who has karka, also kosvin alav prosbul, you write a prosbul, mid Rabbi Nasan, because that's the famous halacha known as shibuda de Rabbi Nasan. Tetanya Rabbi Nasan omer, Rabbi Nasan holds, mi nayim lenosha b'chaver mana, v'chaver b'chaver mana, shematziyum mizeh v'nosan lezeh. How do I know that if A owes B money, and B owes C money, that C can go and collect straight from A? Talmud Lomar v'nasan la'asher ashamlo. Pasuk says that you give la'asher ashamlo not just to the guy. You don't just give back to the guy who you borrowed money from, but la'asher ashamlo to anyone who's owed the money, meaning you even go further down the chain. So if A owes B money and B owes C money, A pays back the money to C. C is allowed to collect the money from A. Right? It's not, the Rashba writes that this isn't that it's a new shibud. It's not that there's a shibud on, that C has a shibud on A's property. It's just in the din of, it's a din of, in the Gvias hachov, then in the collection of the chov, not in the actual shibud itself. But either way, this is it, which would make the phrase shibud the Rabbi Nasan a little bit of a misnomer. But either way, the point is that since the chov can transfer to the next level, so in the case where I lent you money and you don't have any karka, but the guy who owes you money has karka, it's as if I'm owed karka. So that's considered milsa de shchiach, and therefore we could write a prosbul in such a case. Tanan we have a mishnah. Shemitah works on a loan, whether it's bishtar or not bishtar. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, how do we understand each of these cases. What does it mean bishtar? What does it mean shalo bishtar? So Rav Shmuel Damri Tavai bishtar, shtar sheyesh b'achrayis nechasim. Bishtar means with a standard, legitimate, strong shtar, where normally whenever you have a loan with a shtar, there's achrayis nechasim written in the shtar, and if there's no achrayis nechasim written in the shtar, it's considered achrayis tal sofer. It's considered to be there anyway, meaning that I have the right to collect from any real property that you have. Shelo b'shtar, she'en b'achrayis nechasim. And then when we say that shvius, shmita, cancels loans that are not b'shtar, it means a shtar that doesn't have achrayis in it. It doesn't mean if there's no shtar. It means even a shtar that doesn't have achrayis. Kol shkein milval peh. And then obviously, milval peh, where there's no shtar at all, of course shmita is going to cancel the loan. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amri Tarvai, that was Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Lakish understand the Mishnah differently. They say bishtar means shtar she'in b'achrayis nechasim. Shtar means, when we say bishtar, that means a shtar that does not have achrayis nechasim. Shelo bishtar milval peh. Shelo bishtar means literally a milval peh, where there was no shtar whatsoever. Aval shtar she'yesh b'achrayis nechasim. But a shtar where there's achrayis nechasim written into the shtar that you're able to collect from any property that he owned at the time of the loan, eino meshamet. Then the Shemitah is not going to cancel out such a loan. Says Tosfos, wait a second, we say by Onas Knas Pitoy, by all these other Chiyuvim, where your Zakfan Bimilva, that Shemitah works. What does it mean, Zakfan Bimilva? Meaning a guy rapes a woman, so he owes her the payment for Onas, right? He owes her the Onas payment. So if they turn that payment into a loan, and he says, now I owe it to you as a loan, so Shemitah does work. And apparently, that when does it turn into a loan? Once there was Hamad Bedin and Beis Din declared that there's a Chiyuv now. Beis Din now turned it from the theoretical that he has some sort of halachic Chiyuv Knas to a Dinim Amnes thing. Okay, we Beis Din declare you were Omid Bedin, you have to go and you have to pay the money. So the halacha is, over there you're allowed to be Govim Mishubadim. So you have a Chrayis Nechasim. So why should Shemitah be Mishamit in such a case? So he says you have to say that there's a difference when something is explicit in the Shtar versus when something's understood. Okay, but anyway, that's the difference between Rav and Shmuel on the one hand and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish on the other hand. Rav and Shmuel hold that Shemitah is Mishamet a loan of any kind, whereas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish say that if there's a Chrayus Nechasim in a Shtar, Shemitah does not cancel the loan. Tanya Kavasid Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Lakish, we have a Brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Shtarchov Mishamet v'miyesh b'ar Chrayus Nechasim enu Mishamet. A Shtarchov cancels the loan, but if there's a Chrayus Nechasim in it, it doesn't cancel the loan. Brisa says explicitly like them. Tanya Idach, Siyim Lo Sadachas Balvasa in the Meshamit. We have another Brisa also that says that if I designate a field to pay you back, the Shemitah is not going to cancel the loan. V'lo Oda, Afilu Kasav Kol Nichsay Achroin Varvoyin Lach. Even if I say any of my properties can be used to collect the money that I owe you, Shemitah is still not going to cancel the loan. So again, exactly like two brises, exactly like Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, that if there's a chrayus nechasim written in the shtar, Shemitah will not cancel the loan. Now the Gemara tells a story that where we see how Rabbi Yochanan dealt with this halacha lemaisa. Krevi de Rabbi Asi Havalei Ahushtara Davikziv Be'a Chrayus Nechasim. One of Rav Asi's relatives had a shtar where money was owed to him, and the shtar had a chrayus nechasim written in it. Asal kamed Rabbi Asi, so he came to Rabbi Asi. Amalei meshamei toenu meshamei. So he says, tell me, does the Shemitah cancel this loan or does it not cancel the loan? Am I going to be able to collect? Amalei enu meshamei. He says, Shemitah will not cancel that loan. Absolutely, you can collect. Shafke vasal kamed Rabbi Yochanan. The relative Rabbi Asi figured he might as well double check, so he went to Rabbi Yochanan to ask the same shayla. Amalei meshamei. And Rabbi Yochanan said, no, the Shemitah cancels that loan. You can't go collect that loan. Directly against what Rabbi Yochanan just said. We just said Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish hold that if there's a chrayus nechasim in the shtar, then the Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan. Now Rabbi Yochanan's paskening for Rav Asi's relative, sorry, you can't collect, even though there's a chrayus nechasim in the shtar. So Asar Rav Asi, the Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Asi apparently got feedback from his relative, what are you doing to me? You're paskening for me that I can collect, and then Rabbi Yochanan tells me I can't. So Rav Asi went to confront Rabbi Yochanan about this, and he said, Amalei Meshami Tawaini Meshami. He said, tell me, does it cancel or does it not cancel? Amalei Meshami, he says, absolutely, it cancels the loan. Ivo Maru Damareino Meshami, you're the one that holds that it doesn't cancel the loan. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan said, a concept we had earlier in the Masechta Daf Yutes, V'chi mipnei she'anu medamin nasa maisa. What, just because I think theoretically in halacha that that should be the halacha, you think I'm willing to rely on that halacha l'maisa? We had it earlier with Gabi, the two different types of chesav, right? Dio al Gabi Sikra, Sikra al Gabi Dio, that he held something was considered kosev, but he said, you think I would allow bringing a karban, chul ma'azara, just because I think you should be machmir and not right that way on Shabbos? So over here as well, he says, just because I think that really the loan should be cancelled, you think I'm going to be mekel and just, I'm certainly going to be be cautious to be machmir and not allow him to go and claim the money because I'm not willing to paskin on it. Obviously, most piskei halacha in the Gemara are mipnei shanu medamin. We're always medamin milsa the milsa. We learn from it, but apparently that's why when you have a maisa in the Gemara where the Gemara shows that there was a chacham was actually morakim and chacham actually paskined a certain way, that's much stronger in a halacha maisa case. That's much stronger than just a theoretical opinion because you never know when the opinion expressed is a theoretical opinion in the Beis Medrash, and when the opinion expressed is halacha l'maisa. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I didn't mean this halacha l'maisa. Just be shana medamin, I'm not going to be osa maisa. So the Ramban writes, and the Tumim quotes this in Siman Samach Zayin as well, that from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says that m'nei shana medamin asa maisa, that I would have been that personally I would be cautious and be machmir, that implies that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is d'oraisa. Because if Shemitah B'zman Hazeh were Drabanan, and his real inclination was to say to be Mekel anyway, so at most it's a Safek Drabanan, then he should have been Mekel. But from the fact that he says, I would be cautiously Machmir, implies that at least Rabbi Yochanan holds Shemitah B'zman Hazeh Darai. So Tum says we don't paskin like him, but that's in fact what Rabbi Yochanan holds. So Amr Lei, so Ravasi asked him, Vatanya Kavase Demar, you don't want to paskin like you, it's not you, there are brises that say like you. We had two brises that said like you. Amr Lei Dimlai Hi Beishamai, he says, I'm afraid those brises might only be going like the Shita Beishamai. Darmi Shtar Omid Ligvaskogavidami, because Beishamai holds that a Shtar that's collectible is viewed as if it's already collected. And that's why the Brisa says that the Shemitah is not going to cancel the loan, because it's as if it's already collected. If someone lends his friend money and he takes a mashkon for it, he takes a collateral, or someone gives over his shtaros to Beisdin, Shemitah does not work. So says Beisdin, I understand why when I give the shtaros to Beisdin, why Shemitah is not going to cancel the loan, because I'm not the one claiming the money anymore. It's based in doing it. But why, when there's a collateral, does Shemitah not cancel the loan? So because he's already holding on to the payment because he's holding on to something. So therefore, it's not considered that it's not considered lo yigos that he's demanding anything because he already has the payment. So that what if I lend somebody money and then he lets me live in his chatzer rent free as a payback? So is that where I'm holding on to a space in his chatzer for the meantime? Is that also called that the Shemitah is going to cancel the loan? So Amalei says no. Shiny mashkon dekanile. A mashkon is different. When a mashkon is movable, it's different than living in a chatzer on karka. Because we know Rabbi Yitzchak holds, when I hold a mashkon, I have a kinyan in the mashkon. That the pasuk says that when you have a mashkon that belongs to somebody, and let's say it's their pajamas that you're holding as a mashkon, so at nighttime they need their pajamas back. So the pasuk says if you give them their pajamas back at night, it's considered a tzedakah for you. But wait a second, if it's not mine, what kind of tzedakah? It's gemilas chesed maybe if it's not mine, but I'm just giving them back what's theirs. Why do you call that a tzedakah? Im eino kone, tzedakah minayin. If I wasn't kone it already, how could it be a tzedakah? Mikalim balchov shekone mashkon. So you see that a balchov is considered to have been kone the mashkon. It's considered that he owns the mashkon right now. And that's why when you lend money ala mashkon, you're holding on to the mashkon, Shemitah's not going to cancel the loan because I already have collected it. I've already been kone something in collection of the payment, namely the mashkon. Right? That's what all the Rishonim say over here. I think the Rush even says explicitly that tzedakah by definition means that I own something and I've given something from myself to somebody else. That's I saw in the Sharmi Tzion Ba'alacha, he quotes that the Zohar on Parshas Miket says that Yosef is called Yosef at Tzadik because he was mefarnes all of his brothers. Because he gave tzedakah from himself to all of his brothers. He gave up from his own money to be mefarnes everybody else. Tanan Hasan, we learn in the Mishnah. If let's say someone is returning money to you, b'shvius, so Rashi says b'shvius doesn't mean during the Shemitah year, because Shemitah only cancels at the end. What we mean to say is after Shemitah's already cancelled the loan, someone tries to return the money anyway, you have a chiv to tell him mishametani, that I'm sorry I hold of the dinim of Shemitah. There is a machlokas rishonim, whether you telling him that I'm being mishamet is what cancels the loan, or the loan is automatically cancelled, whether you tell him or not. Meaning, is it that the loan is not cancelled until I tell him, and I just have a chiyuv to tell the guy that I'm cancelling the loan? But if I don't tell him, the loan is still there? Or is it that Shemitah works on its own? We alluded to this before. The Rush in Chuvas and Klal Ayin Zayin says that Shemitah is Meshamed on its own, without the Malva being Mocha, without saying Meshamed Ani. It's just a separate din. He has to be gracious about it as well. The Urayim in Simon Reish Ayin Ches says that no, it's a mitzvah on the Malva to be Mochel B'chov and not to demand it. And if he's not Mochel, then the Lova does have to pay. The only thing is, Beis Din can be Kofa the Malva to be Mochel, because we're Kofa al Mitzvah Sase. So they'll beat him up until he agrees to be Mochel. The Bala Ma'ar is quoted in the Sefer HaTrumos that there's a chiluk over here between Shemitah Daraisa and Shemitah Drabanan. That Shemitah Daraisa, the loan cancels itself out. You don't need the Malva to say Meshamed Ani. But by Shemitah Drabanan, it's the Meshamed Ani that actually cancels the loan. And he has rayas, but we're not going to get into it now. So he says, Sotzarek Shem Lo Meshamed Ani, you need to tell the guy, I'm being mochelit. But if the Lova says, no, I want to pay you back anyway, I feel badly about it, I want to pay you back anyway, Yekabli Menu, then you're allowed to take the money. Shenemar Zed Dvar HaShemitah. Pasuk says V'zed Dvar HaShemitah. So you're allowed to do so. As long as you do the Dibur, you said Meshamed Ani, you've done yours. And if the guy still insists on paying you back, there's no problem with taking the money back. Amar Rabba V'tali Le Ada Amar Hachi. Rabba says, the way Rashi explains this line, you're allowed to hang him up on a tree until he says Afal Pikein. Right? The guy says, I want to pay you back. You say, nah, Meshamed Ani, don't worry about it. And the guy's about to walk away and say, oh, okay, don't worry about it. So you're allowed to grab him, hang him up on a tree and say Afal Pikein, say that you want to pay me anyway. Until the guy finally says he wants to pay you anyway, then you can take the money back. Other Rishonim say, that's a little bit strange. Isn't that lo yigos? Isn't that going and demanding the money? Isn't that's what the Rush asks on Rashi? So the other Rishonim, the Rush, the Ran, the Ritva, they say no, that it means that you're tola enav, that it means talile, it means you're tola enav, you give him a look to embarrass him into paying. I mean, you give him a look like, come on, you're going to do that to me. I lent you the money and that's it? I'm just going to tell you Meshamed Ani and you're going to walk away and never pay me the money back? And the look will say all the words that need to be said, and hopefully he'll be embarrassed until he'll be humiliated into paying you back. Now, the Ravid in Tamim Deim has a totally opposite pshat. Ravid in Tamim Deim says that no, that you have to turn, Talile means turn your eyes away from him. Because you're not allowed to demand the money in any way, whether it be with words or whether it be with looks. And sometimes looks are worth more than words. You have to turn away to make sure you don't show him any sense of disappointment, because that may push him into paying back the loan. But anyway, by the Talile means look away, Adam Rafi. He's got to say it on his own, Adam Rafi. Question is how the Rav is going to read the next line of the Gemara. Let's assume like Rashi right now, that you're beating the guy up, you're hanging him up on a tree until he says Afal Pikein. So Eisvei Abaye Kshu Nosin Lo Al Yom Lo Bechovi Ani Nosin Lach Al Yom Lo Shelihein Umatan Ani Nosin Lach. When the Lovid does pay it back after Shemitah, he shouldn't say I'm paying back what I owe you. He should say no, the loan is canceled. This is a gift from me to you, a special matana. Now this sounds like he has to hold that it's a matana. If you're beating him up, he certainly doesn't feel like it's a matana. How could it be that you're allowed to beat him up till he gives it? Over here, Abaye says he has to say that he's giving it as a matana. So I'm like, tell the nami Adam Rachi. No, you beat him up until he tells you it's a matana. You keep hanging him on the tree until he tells you that it's a matana. You have to work out how the other Rishonim are going to read that the follow-up question and answer based on their pshat in Tali Le Adam Rachi. Abba Bar Marta, duhu Abba Bar Menyumi, have a masik be Rabba Zuze. Abba Bar Marta, who happens to be the same guy as Abba Bar Menyumi, happened to owe Rabba some money. I sinune alei b'shvius. They brought Rabba the money b'shvius again, meaning after Shemitah was over. Amalei mishametani, and Rabba did his part. He said, "I'm sorry, mishametani. I hold the Shemitah. I don't take money." Shaklinu v'azel. So they left. I said, "Okay." Asa Abaye Ashkei Dava Atziv. Abaye saw Rabba was very sad. Amalei Amai Atziv Maisa. Why are you so sad? Amalei Hachi Ava Maisa. He said, well, I lent them a lot of money and I just lost it all because of Shemitah. And I told them a Shamin and I was waiting for the Afal Pikin that they want to pay me back anyway. It never came. So Azal Gabe, so Abaye went to Abba Bar Minyome, Abba Bar Marta, who is Abba Bar Minyome, Amalei. Antisle Zuzi, did you try to, Lamar, did you try to bring money back to Rabba? Amalei Inni. He said, of course. Amalei Amai Amalach. And what did Rabba tell you? Amalei Meshametani. He said he holds of Shemitah, so sorry. Amalei Va'amartlei Afal Pikin. Did you say Afal Pikin? Did you insist? Amalei Lo. He said, no, I didn't do that. Amalei Va'amartlei Afal Pikin. Havashaklinu Minach. Had you said that, he would have taken it from you. So go bring it back to him. Ve'amalei Afal Pikin. And say to him, Afal Pikin. So Aslam Tinu Ne'alei Va'amalei Afal Pikin. So they redid it. They brought it back the money. He said, Meshametani. They said, Afal Pikin. Shaklinu Minach. And then Rabba took the money. Amar Lo Ava Be'dai Tabaitzur Merabon Me'ekar. And Rabba says, well, they didn't think of it at first. They must have realized what happened, and he didn't realize that Abaye was pulling the strings. He says they must have realized that I really wanted the money back. A person is believed to say, I had a prosbul but I lost it. My time. Why is he believed to say that? Given the takin rabbanon prosbul or shavikater va'achli sura. Once the rabbanon make a takana that there's such a thing called the prosbul, why would a person not do it? There's no reason to demand a loan after shemitah without the benefit of writing a prosbul. You could just as easily write a prosbul. It takes 2 seconds. It's not so we have a klal that a person would never, if he has two options that are equally easy of iser and heter, we have a klal that the person would not do the iser when it's just as easy to do the heter. If he's going to make money by doing the iser, so then he will do the iser. But if there's no reason for him to do the iser, and this kind of is a klal that comes up in poskim. There's a fascinating Tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger in Siman Samach Tes. Rabbi Kiva Eger has a shayla of a sofer who wrote a lot of pairs of tefillin for a lot of different people, and the people got their tefillin checked later on, and they opened up the batim and they took out empty parshios. And the sofer was selling pasul tefillin, he was selling empty parshios to people. And as it turns out, during the time that the sofer was doing business, he had also written 2 sefer Torah. Now you can't write empty sefer Torah, people will notice, right? So he wrote 2 sefer Torah, and they seemed kosher. But the shayla was, do you have to assume that maybe he didn't write the Shemos Lishma, maybe he didn't write the Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah Lishma, which would passel the Sefer Torah, because he's chashud, he's obviously someone who can't be trusted in Safras. So Rabbi Kiva Eger happened to have been makel for a variety of reasons, but one of his reasons to be makel was, it's just as easy to write the Shemos Lishma as it is to write them Shalom Lishma. So Mestama, Lo Shavagin, meaning by the tefillin, it's a lot easier to put in empty parshios than to put in parshios that actually are written. So you don't have such a chazak, but over here you do have such a klal, because he had nothing to lose by going ahead and writing it for real, writing it the correct way. He also points out that the sofer lived in the community, and he went to the shuls where these sefer Torah were read from, so he was chashud to cause other people to do averos by giving them empty tefillin. Check his tefillin, I bet you there are parshios in there, right? So he said it's likely that he wouldn't make the Sifrei Torah puzzle if he was planning on using those Sifrei Torah for himself. A big tzaddik. So Kiyasluka made the Rav. When they came to Rav, Amrle Midi Prosbul Ayilach Vavet. So Rav used to always say, wait, do you have a Prosbul? Maybe you lost a Prosbul. Kigon Zep Sach Pichal Ilim. Even if the guy doesn't taina that he lost a Prosbul, you're allowed to make the taina on his behalf. Sach Pichal Ilim. Tanan Vachem Balchov Shemotzi Shtarchov Ve'eni Mo Prosbul. A Balchov takes out a Shtarchov and he doesn't have a Prosbul. Hare Eil Lo Yifru. He can't get paid back. So don't you see against what we just said, that it's not psach pichililim, you don't make a taina on his behalf that maybe he lost it? Says Gemara Tanayi, it's a machlokas Tanayim, the Tanya, Moshe Shtarchov, Tzarech Sheim, or Prozbul, Vacham Romeinu Tzarech. So it's a machlokas whether you actually need the physical Prozbul there or not. Says the Mishnah, Eved Shenashu Padu'u, if an Eved was captured and you redeem the Eved from captivity, Im Lishum Eved Yishtabed, Im Lishum Ben Chorin, Im Lishum Eved Yishtabed, if you redeem him to be an Eved, so now he's an Eved again. Im Lishum Ben Chorin, but if you redeem him in order to be a free man, Lo Yishtabed, he does not go back to being an Eved. Rishum Gamliel Omer, Ben Kach, Ben Kach Yishtabed. Rishum Gamliel says, whatever your Kavana is when you redeem him from captivity, whether it's to be an Eved or to be a Ben Chorin, either way, he's going to be an Eved again. So B'maya Skinon, what's exactly the case of the Mishnah? Ilim Lefnei Yeush, if we're talking about that the first owner from whom he was captured has not yet given up hope on him, Lishum Ben Chorin Amai Lo Yishtabed. What do I care why I'm redeeming him? If the first owner didn't give up hope on him, then it's stealing if we don't give him back. Ella, so it must be that you give him back. Elo la'acha yesh. It must be that it's after yesh. The guy already gave up hope on him. But if he already gave up hope on him, l'shem eved amayishtabed. Why would he go back into captivity if I redeem him l'shem eved? Why should he go back to the original owner? The original owner already had yesh on him, so he doesn't own him anymore. So I'm gonna abaye liolam. There are gonna be two approaches. Abaye's approach is the olam of fnei yesh. We're dealing with a case where the guy did not yet give up hope on him. L'shem eved yishtabed l'rabo rishon. So that's why if I redeem him to be an eved, he goes right back to his original master. Why l'shem ben chorin lo yishtabed lo l'rabo rishon lo l'rabo sheni? Why is it when I redeem him to be a free man, does he not go back to his original master? The guy did not yet give up hope on him. So the rabbi sheni lo, the guy who redeemed him doesn't get him the l'shem ben chorin parke, because I redeemed him to be a free man. The rabbi rishon nami lo, and he doesn't go back to his original owner either. Dil memimni evilo parke, because we're afraid that if when I redeem an eved, he's going to go back to his original owner, then why would I ever want to redeem an eved? Just so some other guy can get an eved out of it. I want to do something nice. I want to do something that's going to make a person a free man. I'm not interested in redeeming him just so he can go back to his original owner. Rav Shimon Gamliel lomer beinkach beinkach yishayim. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees and says no. Either way, he's going to go back into shibud. Why? You don't need any motivation to be poda in eved. Even if he's going to go back to his original owner, you would be poda him anyway because it's a mitzvah. The mitzvah is motivation enough to want to be poda in eved. So that's one approach. Rava Amar Liolam Liachar Yeish. Rava says, really, we're dealing with after Yeish. L'shum Eved Yishtabi L'Rabu Sheni. And when I redeem him to be an Eved, he gives Meshuba to his second master. L'shum to the guy who redeemed him, because the first owner gave up hope. L'shum Ben Chorin Lo Yishtabi Lo L'Rabu Risham Lo L'Rabu Sheni. And if I redeem him to go free, he's not Meshuba to anybody, to neither master. L'Rabu Sheni Lo Dal Shem Ben Chorin Parke. To his second master, he's not Meshuba because I redeemed him to be free. L'Rabu Risham Nami Lo Dal La'achar Yeish. And to his first master, he doesn't go back because he already gave up hope. And Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees and says, even though it's after Yehush, Omer Benkach Benkach Yishtabed, either way he should go into captivity. Why? He should go into Avdus again? Kidda Chizkia, like Chizkia says, Da'amr Chizkia, Mipnei Ma'amru Benkach Benkach Yishtabed. Why is it that no matter what purpose I redeem him for, he goes back into captivity after the original owner had Yehush? We don't want everyone, every Eved, just letting himself be captured so that he can be freed and maybe he'll get a better situation where he won't be an Eved anymore, or maybe he'll find himself a nicer master. In order to avoid that, we make it that he always goes back to being an Eved.